Hello and welcome to Talking.Golf on Wisconsin.Golf. Talking.Golf is a weekly podcast featuring Gary D'Amato and Rob Hernandez. And now, talking all things golf in Wisconsin, here's Gary and Rob. Talking.Golf is sponsored by the 2024 American Family Insurance Championship in Madison. Tournament week for the 2024 AmFam Championship kicks off June 1st with UW Carbone's Race for Research 5K run at the Thomas Zimmer Cross Country Course at University Ridge. That's followed by tournament play June 7th through the 9th across the parking lot at University Ridge Golf Course in Madison. The multi-Grammy award-winning band Train will headline the annual Friday night concert with opening act Kingfish at Bree Stevens Field on June 7th. So be the engine and not the caboose. Tickets for the concert and the tournament are on sale now, so head on over to amfamchampionship.com. Since its debut in 2016, the AmFam Champ has raised over $17 million for charity, with proceeds distributed through the Steve Stricker American Family Insurance Foundation. Rob Hernandez along with Gary D'Amato. It is, we move right along in the month of May. That AmFam Championship will be here in no time. You saw what I did there, the engine caboose train concert.
That's pretty good, Rob.
Thank you. Thank you. It's going to be here in no time because we're up to another senior major. We'll talk about the senior KitchenAid senior PGA in a minute. We'll talk about the PGA. But we do have to talk about something you had in sweet spot today, Gary. They announced some more players that have committed to the 2024 AmFam Championship at University Ridge. And as is typically the case, a lot of international stars will be on hand. And who jumps off the list that that you put in there today?
It's a big list. I guess a couple names jump off because of how well they've played over the last year or two. Stephen Elker, New Zealand. He's always going to be tough. He's got a great track record everywhere he plays. And then Ernie Els has played really well. Hasn't won as many times maybe as I thought he would have once he turned 50, Rob, but always a threat. And Thomas Bjorn now, a first-timer, Thomas Bjorn of Denmark, first-time playing in the AmFam, I think he'll be a threat. And I don't think you can ever discount our friend Miguel Angel Jimenez, who always seems to play well in Madison. So a bunch of names. How about you?
Yeah, I mean, Miguel, he, along with Jerry Kelly, have been winless since the end of the 2022 season. And so they, for the first time, didn't win in a calendar year last year. Stephen Ames is probably the hottest golfer on the PGA Tour champions. But the difference between Stephen Ames' dominance and Steve Stricker's dominance last year is that Stephen Ames hasn't won a major yet. And so he, while he obviously he's up there, atop the Schwab Cup because of how well he's played, I think he still needs to win the big one. Even at that age, I think, Gary, there's still a validation that you've got to win a big tournament, a major championship to put your name, especially when you're talking about the Champions Tour and all the greats of the game, that matriculate onto that tour. I think that's next for Stephen Ames. And that could come at Madison. I think it's probably a course that suits his eye pretty well.
That's a good point, Rob. I hadn't thought about it, but, yeah, Stephen Elker has not won a major. Certainly has the game to win multiple majors. Steve Stricker's won seven of them, I believe, which is in the top seven or eight of guys who have ever played that tour. He doesn't have too many guys ahead of him, but Stephen Elker would have a long way to go to catch Steve Stricker as far as majors go. But the guy looks like he's 45 years old and plays like he's 35. He still has a wonderful swing and golf game. So I'd be very surprised if Stephen doesn't pick off a major or two here in the next year or two.
Yeah, so Stephen Ames wins so far. There have been eight of them, and they've all come – six of them have come since February of last year. He broke through at Trophy Hassan, first win in almost 2 years there, and then the Mitsubishi Electric Classic, then the Principal Charity Classic, the Boeing Classic, the Chubb Classic, the Mitsubishi Electric Classic again this year. Gary, I'm sensing a trend here. His last five wins have been in classics for Stephen Ames. And then we look at Stephen Elker, and, he has won. He's won the Schwab Cup Championship, and he's won the season opener this year. Hasn't won since the season opener, which
I guess, is a little bit surprising. As much as he dominated that, he won that by four strokes over Harrison Frazier. You're right. Except for the KitchenAid Senior PGA back in 22, he too has a drought. So the Stevens that dominated early, kind of like guys on the PGA Tour with that have the last name SCH, are starting to dominate. The Steves and Stevens and the like, they've kind of given way, I think, to a little bit of parity on the Senior Tour. I mean, the guys that you mentioned in the column today are all capable of winning. And, and some of these guys, because they play the European Tour, like Thomas Bjorn, don't get status out here right away. And so they have to kind of work their way up, sort of like what I think Thongtai Dai-di did, kind of like, a number of other guys that have come from other tours, from the regular portion of their career.
Yeah, and I got to say, I mixed up my Stevens a little while ago, Rob. I thought you were talking about Elker, but you were talking about Ames. And I was talking about Elker, so sorry about
that. There's too many, Gary. I'm telling you, there's too many. We got to change some of these names. Yeah. Maybe we need a nickname for Stricker, huh?
Yeah. Well, he's already got Strick or Strix, as Tiger calls him. Yeah, we'll just go Strix. Yeah. Whatever Tiger uses is what we should probably use. But, some of these guys, Kyle Montgomery, can he win a major still? I don't know. He hasn't played very well for the last couple of years. And Vijay, I guess it would be a surprise to me if he started winning majors again at his age and everything he's accomplished in the game. Not saying he couldn't do it, but he hasn't really been a big factor the last couple of years as I thought he'd be either.
No, and I guess, I got kind of excited at the Masters. We had two guys that made the cut over 50 that I found interesting because they didn't. They have, you're right, to your point, they haven't done much on the PGA Tour champions, Jose Maria Olazabal and Vijay Singh. And I think both have been, hobbled by injuries and again, age is the ultimate winner on the PGA Tour champions. I would have expected that Vijay would have been able to dominate more. It's weird because I see him at the Schwab Cup every year and it feels like I've seen him hobble into that, kind of struggle for a round, then come out and shoot a 62. And so it's in there, but it just doesn't happen on a regular basis.
Well, when you talk about Vijay, Rob, you talk about a guy who's probably maybe hit more balls than anyone has ever lived. I mean, he was the ultimate range rat who hit balls for hours before he played and then hours after he played. And he did that every day. And he played every day and hit balls every day. So, at some point your body's going to start saying, that's enough. You've hit 10 million golf balls in your life and body parts are going to start to rebel. I don't know that that's happened with Vijay, but it could be one of the reasons why he hasn't won in bunches like some of the other guys.
So 1-2-3 on the Charles Schwab Cup standings right now, Stephen Elker, Stephen Ames, and Paul Broadhurst. And then we've got Joe Durant, Doug Barron, and Ricardo Gonzalez. And Gary, the cynical people that follow golf would probably say that that's a billboard for the PGA Tour champions needing Tiger Woods to turn 50 in a hurry because, those are guys that are all great guys. And but yet, in my opinion, if you're running the tour, the PGA Tour champions, especially in this day and age where, you're not going to get more funding because of what's going on with the parent tour. That's a hard one. I mean, those guys are journeymen that have played well. Gonzalez is another guy that managed to, play well I think it might have been in Trophy Hassan win or get his, exempt status that way, followed by Y.E. Yang, who had a U.S. Open win, I believe. And that was about the extent of his impact on the PGA Tour. So that whole Champions Tour mentality that I think the tour was founded on to kind of give Jack Arney and Gary Player and those and Lee Trevino, those kind of guys, a chance to kind of, ride off into a long sunset, I think is maybe, it needs an injection of a Stricker run, a Kelly run, an Ernie Els run, some of the guys, Patrick Harrington, who, has played pretty well since turning 50, but, is sitting there at 15 on the Schwab Cup money list. I think it's weird how this has kind of unfolded this year.
It is, Rob, and I'm starting to be concerned about Tiger's willingness and ability to play the Champions Tour when he gets there in a couple of years, when he turns 50. He's hardly playing at all now. He's just playing basically the majors, and he's not playing exceptionally well in it every time he tees it up. So will he play on the Champions Tour? I think, you know, he'll probably, I would think maybe he'll do a favor to Steve Stricker and show up in Madison once. And he'll, I would guess he'll play the U.S. Senior Open to add to his, try to add to his total of USGA championships. But I don't, you know, it's starting to look like we're not going to see him on a regular basis on the Champions Tour. You know, he's only going to wind up playing six or seven events this year on the regular tour. I can't imagine he'd be too enthused about going out on the Champions Tour, even on a semi-regular basis. I'm a little concerned about that at this point.
You don't think that, you know, that he would see maybe the benefit? I mean, I think that's why Jack and Arnie played as much as they did. And I don't think they played a lot. I mean, they weren't the, but they you know, we saw them in all the majors. I'll take the majors. And we've got five of them on the PGA Tour Champions. And then you bring them here to the AmFam. You play in Hawaii. All of a sudden, you're up to seven. You play in the Schwab Cup Championship down here in Phoenix. And then you're at eight. I mean, you're first of all, you're satisfying, you know, Mitsubishi on the one end at the season opener and Schwab on the back end at the season ender. You're, like you said, you're honoring your friend Strick. You'll probably play in Jim Furyk's event. They're probably going to get Tiger an event somewhere. And maybe it'll be a fun one where you can, you know, where it might be a team competition. There's that team competition that we were talking about last week. I agree with you in that I don't think we'll see him grind it on the PGA Tour Champions. But given the cart and given the 54 hole events on the regular weeks, I think he'll entertain the idea, you know, depending on how his body feels at that point in his life.
Yeah, you're probably right about that. And it also, I think, depends how he plays. If he is not winning regularly on the Champions Tour when he does tee it up on that tour, I don't think he's going to come out, you know, for 4 or 5 or 6 years in a row and play 10 events if he's shooting 74th and not in contention. I think he'd be – I think he'd get tired of that and bored with that really quickly. I think if he wins on that tour, I think we'll see more of him. So – you know, fingers crossed that he comes out and plays well and wins a couple tournaments and, you know, plays in more stuff. That would be great for golf and great for the Champions Tour.
Yeah, and now you bring up that point, Gary, watching David Duval alongside Scott Van Pelt all weekend at the PGA Championship on the ESPN coverage. You know, I look at David and I don't see a very competitive, you know, he's aged, his body's kind of broken down. I mean, that'll be the X factor. The guys who aged and bodies broke down in the Nicholas Trevino era, you know, I'm not sure their bodies were as good as Tiger Woods and David Duval and Jason Day and all these guys that are, you know, that once upon a time were fit as a fiddle. And so when they break down, it's, you know, you can't repair a thoroughbred. And you're right. I think, I mean, David Duval is really struggling out here on the PGA Tour Champions. And I wonder how long he'll, you know, continue to grind that way, but we'll see.
Yeah, I think that you're absolutely right. It depends on his health. It depends on, you know, how his leg, his ankle is doing, and it depends how he plays. And I think if he can, you know, use a cart and manage with a cart, and if he plays well, I think, you know, he's so competitive and he loves to win. We all know that if he can win out there a couple of times, I think we'll see him as regularly as his body will let him, whether that's six events a year or eight or 10. I don't think he's going to ever get beyond 10, but I would love to see him out there six or eight times a year.
Well, for now, I think we've got a pretty good field lineup here for the 2024 AmFam Championship. Again, kicks off with the UW Carbone Race for Research 5K run on June the 1st. Then, of course, the tournament, June 7th through the 9th. That June 7th date is the Friday of the tournament. That night, the Grammy Award-winning band Train with the opening at Kingfish at Bree Stevens Field. All tickets for the concert and the tournament are now on sale over at AmFamChampionship.com. Gary, if you were like me, you spent a lot of time in front of the TV this weekend after you got back from Valhalla. You were there early in the week for Golf Writers Association business. But I think, as I kind of joked to you in a text message, I think Steve Stricker knew what he was doing when he WD'd. And I think you knew what you were doing. You got out of town before they called the cops.
Yeah, for all I know, I would have been caught up in that mess on Thursday morning. And was it Friday morning?
Friday morning, yeah, second round.
Yeah. And first of all, I'm not taking anything lightly with the tragedy that happened with the vendor who was killed, unfortunately. That was a tragedy. not joking about that at all. But yeah, beyond that, with Scottie Scheffler, it was so bizarre to wake up, turn on the TV, and see, you know, the news flash that Scottie Scheffler was arrested on his way into the court. I'm like, what? What is going on here? You know, that was such a bizarre story that day.
Yeah, I woke up to a text from my daughter. Of course, when you're, you know, two time zones behind you and another one behind Valhalla, you know, news travels slowly, and sometimes you sleep through it. But when she texted me, I can't wait to see your reaction to the news of the day. And I go, oh, gosh, what's this all about? So I, you know, then I saw it. Then I had to find, you know, because I always do the dad joke thing, and I had to find a different story to be able to tell her that I was stupid and couldn't find what was really going on. So I found the news about the NFL scheduling games around Taylor Swift's schedule. So I said that was a travesty too. The travesty was that someone lost their life, Gary. We've been at tournaments where this has happened. I think back to the PGA Championship at Hazeltine when lightning struck during one of the practice rounds and lives were lost that day. And, you know, whenever anybody is going to a big event like a PGA or a major championship, you know, these are like the Super Bowls of golf. And you looked at all the fans that were at the tournament this weekend. And, you know, I mean, this is something I'm sure, you know, a lot of people are looking forward to. This gentleman here was, you know, showing up for work early to, you know, either in a volunteer working capacity or a vendor capacity, you know, trying to make the whole experience better for somebody else. And I think that really is, you know, I think, you know, can't be lost in all this. However, you know, also that can't be lost is that I just don't know that the reaction to what was going on was appropriate. And now apparently Golf Channel reported here before we started our podcast on Monday that Scheffler's court date has been postponed until June 3rd, and that he will have to show up to in the court for the, you know, for the plea to be entered. And so now, you know, I can't believe we're going to let it get to this point. I you know, having seen Jeff Darlington's video, I just, and we've all been in backups, and I can't believe that. And I think this is why we may never see a major championship at Valhalla again. Is, I mean, I can't believe that the infrastructure would be set up so that, you know, you've got so many people funneling into the same area. And I mean, I don't know of many places I go, you know, for you know, professional golf tournaments where I'm going in the same parking entrance as the players. I even on the senior tour.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, having ridden the bus in the first 2 days I was there, I could see that it could be a very big tangled mess. Traffic was brutal. Luckily, the buses, our media buses, had sort of a dedicated lane, and I'm sure that's the same lane the players were in, and, yeah, and you know, working the tournament and everything. And it was hard to get into the course. And, you know, in Scottie's defense, you know, I don't know him personally, but I've certainly, you know, have read a lot of things and heard him and seen him, and he's a level-headed, you know, he's a good person by all accounts. He's just a good guy. And I can't believe, you know, he said he misunderstood the directions that he was given, and it just, there was confusion. How he kept going 10 yards with when an officer put his hands on the car somehow and either grabbed the handle or I'm not clear when Darlington or somebody said that the officer attached himself to the car. I don't think he jumped on the hood, so I'm not sure what that means, but I just think it was a misunderstanding because Scottie, I'm sure, did not intentionally do anything to hurt anybody.
And there's no body cam video, but at this point, I mean, if we're going down that road, it took away early from what wound up being another great PGA championship at Valhalla, right down to the final hole with Xander Schauffele finally winning his first major championship. And I thought of all the storylines that could unfold on Sunday, Gary, that was the one that I think needed to unfold because, you know, there's certain, you know, I've got a checklist of guys that need to win this year or guys that need to win majors. You know, the two guys that need to close out their Grand Slams, Spieth in this tournament, and then Rory at the Masters. And you know, then you look at, you know, Victor Hovland's already, you know, done it, but you know what a great storyline that was after basically almost looked like he was going down, you know, the Steve Stricker exit ramp from 2000, and all of a sudden careens back on and he finishes third. And you know, Morikawa was in there. Justin Rose at, you know, the at 40 something, you know, I mean, that was pretty impressive. Shane Lowry, I mean, you know, it was a great championship and a lot of names, kind of floated in and out of that leaderboard. But to see Schauffele close the deal, I thought was probably something that golf needed right now. And boy, you got to feel pretty good for that guy.
Absolutely, and I've totally gotten over the scoring. I used to be one of those, I guess, golf course snobs who, you know, if the course didn't protect par, it's not a championship course. There's nothing, when it rains like that and there's not a lot of wind, there's nothing you can do to a golf course like that that can make it impenetrable to these guys. I don't care how tall you grow the roughs. I don't care what you do to the greens. I mean, when a golf course is soft, these guys are going to eat it up no matter if it's 8,000 yards long, no matter what you do to it. And a lot of people, I've heard some, you know, read some stuff on Twitter and on social media that it was not a good major because the scores were so low. I don't buy into that argument anymore, Rob. I thought it was a really great championship.
I would agree wholeheartedly with you. And I harken back to the first U.S. Open I covered in 1990 at Medina. And it was, you know, what was it, 5 years after Andy won at Oakland Hills, Andy North. And I remember getting to Medina on a Tuesday or Wednesday, and Andy was pretty upset because it had rained in Chicago. And, you know, he was a guy that needed the scores to be around level par to win a U.S. Open. And that was, you know, how he won two of them. And as soon as it rained at Medina, he said, you know, it basically opens the field up to about 40 or 50 guys. But you can't control Mother Nature. I heard someone suggest they need to find a way to, well, I guess it was, you know, someone on the Golf Channel post-game coverage, you know, suggested they need to find, you know, a way to dry out greens, you know, faster than they are right now. And I mean, we've seen courses like Central World with the sub-air systems. I think that does a pretty effective job, but you can't recreate a week's worth of dry weather overnight, no matter what you do. And I think that was the one defense where, and so I wasn't surprised to see the scores. I know that, you know, David Duval predicted 19 under when they signed off and it got to 21. So he's pretty close. It is kind of jarring to see that scores that low that consistently, but it's a major championship, and it was pretty cool to see it be a race forward with the prospect of people struggling down the stretch or not making birdie. And I think that was the drama there. And I thought all in all it played out pretty well.
Yeah, and you still saw guys get in trouble. I mean, Rory McIlroy hit in the water, I think, twice in the final round. So that, I mean, you still had to be careful. You couldn't just fire at everything haphazardly. But I didn't mind the scoring at all. It was a great leaderboard. I mean, a bunch of guys who won majors, and then a bunch of guys who were looking, who probably should have had a major by now, and Xander was in that ballpark and finally won one. So to me, I think a major championship is made by the quality of the leaderboard, and it doesn't matter what the scores are.
I think they said the same thing about Aaron Hills when Koepka won there.
Yeah.
You know, because it rained and it softened the course. So, and now, you know, years later, I don't think that was a bad major championship. Clearly, Brooks Koepka's followed up that. I mean, there was no fluke that he won it. And he was in the conversation for a while this weekend, but then faded on the weekend with that third round 74. So PGA Championship's done. Senior PGA Championship sponsored by KitchenAid, just across the pond, at least our pond over Lake Michigan. At Harbor Shores in Benton Harbor, Michigan. Gary Stricker, Kelly, Mario Tiziani in the field. You texted me a picture. Brad Lanning in the field, the club pro out of the Fox Valley area. And he's got a locker next to the guy who, I tell you what, he's the Aaron Rodgers of the PGA Tour champions.
Yes. Of course, it's alphabetical. So Longer and then Lanning. That's how he got that locker. But I'm happy for Brad. He got in as an alternate, I believe. I think Mick Smith's in the field, too, isn't he? I'm pretty sure. I don't have a feel
for that.
Yeah, but we're going to have a bunch of guys to keep track of. And, of course, Steve's defending champion, and now he's had a week off because he withdrew from the PGA. I would expect him to play well. And Mario's been playing well, Rob. So, yeah, we're going to have a bunch of guys to keep track of this weekend.
Mick Smith is in the field, so make that five Wisconsin golfers. We'll be teeing it up over there. And then I'm sure we'll have more than one Wisconsin caddy since there's two limbs of the Stricker family in the tournament. But they announced they had Rich Beam on Golf Central today, and he announced that two-time WIAA state champion Billy Heim out of Green Bay Preble, who was on the bag for the Beamer in 2002 at Hazeltine when he won the PGA over Tiger Woods, will be reuniting with his old boss over at the senior PGA. So look for Billy Heim on the bag. Good guy, former UTEP golfer, and a really good golfer. I mean, we've got our Hall of Fame meeting coming up in a few days here for the Wisconsin Golf Hall of Fame. And, boy, you know, Billy just never played enough at the amateur or state open level to really kind of get in that conversation. But he's still the only guy that's won three consecutive WIAA state titles.
Yeah, that's pretty big. And I've got to say, Rob, I don't know Billy. I started covering golf at the Journal Sentinel a little bit after his time, his run. I know you covered him. I know he was, you know, everyone I talked to say was the best of the best at that point among young golfers in the state. He was really good.
Well,
so
yeah, and he followed J.P. Hayes to UTEP, and at that point you're thinking he was going to blow J.P.'s, you know, record out of the water, and I don't think, you know, again, that never really happened. I think he tried to play a little bit, but like with a lot of guys, didn't work, and then he wound up caddying for Rich Beam, and that did work, and that was a very successful combination. So we've got Steve Stricker, who won the tournament last year, among about a half dozen or so former senior PGA champions. And you're right, I think with a week off, Steve should be sharp. Jerry Kelly looked in form the last time out. Mario Tiziani played well in his last outing. So I think we got a lot to look forward to. Hey, have you played Harbor Shores?
I did play it, yes. I played it a couple years ago. It's a really interesting golf course. It's not in a very good neighborhood. It's in an old sort of industrial neighborhood in Benton Harbor, and the golf course was totally like repurposed. It's got a couple of really cool holes on. I remember one par four, Rob, that plays right toward the lake, and the green is elevated right above the water, and that's followed by a sweeping dogleg left, a par five. It's a good golf course. That's the one I think where Jack Nicklaus made that like 150-foot putt when Johnny Miller said, "You can't." You can't putt it from there. And Jack said, yeah, of course you putt it here. Let me show you. And he proceeded knocking a 150-footer. I think they got a little plaque at that part in the green where he made that putt.
That is awesome. That is awesome. Yeah. No, I'm looking forward to it. It's also a 156-player field, which is, I believe, it might be the largest field. Well, I guess the U.S. Senior Open will be the same in golf. So, again, a lot of people will be it's the – the longest day of golf for the Senior PGA Championship, and that all begins Thursday over at Harbor Shores in Benton Harbor. I want to jump back quickly also to the PGA conversation, Gary. Forgot to mention, too, Sean Toulon, Madison native, putter design guru, also won his first major yesterday because Xander Schauffele had his Las Vegas prototype putter in the bag. It was a specially made putter that combined a couple previous putters that Xander Schauffele had used previously, and it did the job. And I tell you, we've known Sean for a long time, and no one cares more about putters and trying to, you know, come up with creative ways to get his putters in people's hands than Sean. You know, he actually has a Valhalla model, but that wasn't the one that Xander used. Las Vegas, so I guess you can call Xander Mr. Vegas with that putter that he had in his hand, courtesy of Sean Toulon and Toulon Designs.
Yeah, I ran into Sean every year at the PGA show in Orlando, and he's of course, he was with Callaway for a long time, and now I think he went on out on his own, but I think he's still associated with Callaway. I think that's how that works. But I think there's three big names in golf putter designs these days, Rob: Scotty Cameron, Bob Bettinardi, and Sean Toulon. Those are the three big ones right now, and almost everyone on the tour is using a putter made by one of those three guys.
Well, it really looked cool. And to read more about, why Xander is using that putter, especially, you know, it's painted red. It's normally a black or white putter. And he paints it red because he likes the contrast as he's looking down at it. The entire top of that putter, Gary, is like the old ones because he got used to seeing that. But the red and the contrast of the red to the green, I thought was interesting. And I don't think it would help me, but it certainly looks good on Xander, so as they like to say. And so I shout out to Sean Toulon for that. College golf, the season winding up here, the NCAA Women's Championship is in the final round of their stroke play competition. Then the top eight teams will go to match play for the next couple days. Practice round on Thursday for the men, and then Friday, Cameron Huss of the University of Wisconsin and Pearson Hunt of the University of Illinois. Pearson, of course, from Heartland, Cameron from Kenosha, will be at the NCAAs in just outside San Diego. Tell you what, it was a big playoff win for Cameron Huss to be able to pull that off, and I felt good for Cameron Huss, felt good for Mike Wilson getting an NCAA qualifier, first time since 2008. Dan Woltman, wow. It doesn't seem like it's been that long.
Yeah, that surprised me when I read that in your story, Rob. 2008, that's, what, 16 years? Wisconsin hasn't sent anybody to the NCAA, so good for Cameron. You know, one of our favorites. His career has been on an ascending arc, you know, for the last 4 or 5 years. He's got great things ahead of him, and I can't wait to see how he plays in the NCAAs.
And Gil Hans has redesigned this Omni La Costa course over here at Carlsbad, California. And the women are the first people to play on it since it's reopened. So it's kind of like playing a brand new course. Of course, the last few years it's been over here at Greyhawk Golf Club in Scottsdale. So a change of venue. Illinois got to the match play last year, then lost in the quarterfinals when they were favored. I know they're hungry to get back. It'll be interesting to see how Mike Small uses the lineup. Pearson Hunt very much contributed to that regional championship last week, the first one since 2019 for the Illinois men's golf team, which is kind of strange given how dominant they've been, and kind of cool for Pearson to be a part of that. I think it was a 6-under 30 to start his second round and really I think set playing the number five position and the first golfer out that day. Really set a tone for Illinois, and we've talked about it. Good to see that out of a guy whose senior season has had a few peaks and valleys.
Yeah, I think he's at 65 in that round, correct?
Yep.
35, you know, great round and came at a perfect time to help the Illini, you know, win that team championship. Good for Pearson.
We've got a couple teams starting NCAA competition or NJCAA competition. This week, the UW-Whitewater women will be in action down at the Division III National Championship in – well, that's not it. It's in Kentucky, and it is at Nicholasville, Kentucky. Keene Trace Golf Club, they play host to a PGA Tour event. And the Whitewater women begin play on Tuesday, and they will be in one of the later waves that day and in the afternoon. Haley Myers, Abby Reiser, Lily Shepard, Kaylee Lux, and Ellie Johnson for the Whitewater women. The University of Dubuque will also be in the mix there, and Leah Balsbaugh out of Sussex will be playing for Dubuque in that. They won their conference this year to earn their automatic qualifying bid, so some local interest there. And then the Madison College men are headed out to the NJCAA Division II tournament, they actually finished second in their regional, and top three teams, I think, went on there. And this is their first year in Division II, Gary. It means they can give out scholarship aid to golfers, which is a big deal for them to be able to kind of be perhaps a program that can, you know, help kids academically to get through the first year or two of college, but then also athletically to be able to you know, perhaps transfer into any number of programs from Division III all the way up to Division I, and that'll be down in Joplin, Missouri, the NJCAA Division II men. So a lot of golf yet to be played on the college level here.
Rob, we haven't even talked about high schools yet, and you have been so busy over the last couple of weeks, and you'll continue to be busy over the next couple of weeks. It's crazy how much golf is going on right now.
Yeah, we got our first result in before we started the podcast. I believe it was the Amherst Regional today in Division II, and Mosini, your winner there, with Jet Walters, a kid, Gary, and you know, you played high school golf. I mean, you know what this time of year means to these kids. Jet Walters 2 years ago lost in a sectional playoff for the last spot to go to state, and then last year missed a state tournament berth by one shot. So pulling for a kid in the WIA tournament series, keep your eye on Jet Walters of Mosini, and I think he's going to play D2 golf at Concordia St. Paul next year. There's a kid who deserves a chance to tee it up at Black Wolf Run. If I could give out exemptions to the state tournament, I would start with Jet.
Well, Rob, where would we be at Wisconsin.golf without your knowledge about high schools and what's going on in the high school golf scene? I'll tell you what. Every time you talk about this, I'm like, oh, okay. Well, all right, that sounds good. Okay, Rob, whatever you say.
Well, and it really is fun. It's an exciting time of year. A lot of interest, more interest than I ever envisioned there being in high school golf when we started the site. And we're just kind of riding the wave. And then we ride that wave from the end of the state high school tournament right into the AmFam Championship. So that'll be fun. I also wanted to mention something I put in sweet spot here this morning. Hannah Dunk, who spent her freshman year at UW-Green Bay, is announced yesterday on Instagram that she's transferring to North Dakota State. Gary, the transfer portal has been a source of angst for college sports fans, especially in college basketball, somewhat in college football. I mean, there's so many positions in football, you kind of lose track as to who's coming and going. But, boy, basketball, it's really a lightning rod subject for people. I can see that happening in golf because they don't get much support in terms of, you know, financial aid anyway. The scholarship limits are pretty tight. And when you're trying to develop kids in a sport where it needs development, it's tough. Hannah Dunk had a great freshman year. She'll be a great addition to North Dakota State, don't get me wrong. But she will have to work to get into that lineup versus being number one there. I don't know if there's a right or wrong answer. And we've got about 30 seconds left, Gary, so I don't know if we can even debate it that much. But, boy, the transfer portal is becoming an issue.
It is. You know, coaches have to recruit their own players now, which is something they never had to worry about before the transfer portal opened up.
You are so right on that count, Gary. I think we've got our first topic for next week. But for this week, that's all the time we have for Talking.Golf. Talking.Golf is presented by the American Family Insurance Championship in Madison. The 2024 AmFam Championship kicks off June 1st with the UW-Carbone's Race for Research 5K run at the Thomas Zimmer Cross Country Course at University Ridge, followed by tournament play June 7th through the 9th at the University Ridge Golf Course in Madison. The multi-Grammy Award-winning band Train will headline the annual Friday night concert with opening act Kingfish at Breeze Stevens Field on June the 7th. But tickets for the concert are now on sale, and for the tournament, both on sale, over at AmFamChampionship.com. Since its debut in 2016, the AmFam Championship has raised over $17 million for charity distributed through the Steve Stricker American Family Insurance Foundation. For Gary, I'm Rob. We'll talk golf again next week.